Hello, my love. Welcome to the podcast. Today, I have a very special guest, my beautiful husband, Hamish Kramer, who is going to be sharing about shamanic healing. Now, I did this episode because I realized we do a lot of podcasts together, Hamish and I. You've met him before if you've listened to the show. If you have not, buckle up. This is about to be a really good introduction to who he is and the amazing work he does. And so many of you are either my clients inside of my programs or have listened to the podcast for a few years and you're into personal development, you're into growth, you're into healing. And maybe you've been wondering what a shamanic healing is. Maybe you've been wanting to get in touch with your spiritual side, connect with yourself. In this episode, Hamish is going to be sharing, and I've asked him a lot of really cool questions about what shamanic healing is, who needs it, what to expect. You know, his journey on becoming a shamanic practitioner from being a Catholic boy, like full on Catholic school, massive Catholic strict family, into understanding different religions, spirituality, and stepping into his space now where this is what he does, working through the initiations and the Peruvian Inca medicine school that he's been studying with, and just a bunch of that. So this is part one, because unfortunately, we had to go. He had a shamanic healing that was coming up the stairs right as we were wrapping up. So he needed to finish that podcast. So he's going to be back, and we're going to be sharing more around how do you know if the person you're working with is legit, is initiated, you know, how to choose someone to go on these healing journeys with. I want to ask him about plant medicine and ayahuasca and all of the things that you might want to know. So this is part one. I hope you enjoy this episode. And more importantly, if you want to learn more about this, or if you're interested and intrigued and you want to check Hamish's work out, I have popped a link in the show notes to his website. You can read about what he does. You can even jump on a quick call and ask him questions if you want to check if this is the right fit for you. He does do shamanic healing in person in Melbourne, Australia, and also virtually. So we've got a lot of women in my community who end up booking sessions with him that live overseas. So that is available to you. Just click the link in the show notes. Without further ado, I hope you love this episode with Hamish. Hola, hola. It's your girl Erica from America. Welcome to the Confidence Chronicles podcast. This podcast is all about helping you stand in who you are. Stop giving a fuck what people think about you. Start standing as your fully expressed self. As you are, queen, as is, there is no filter needed. You are fucking awesome. And I am here to remind you, I'm a confidence coach, a business mentor, a speaker, an author, and I am obsessed with women standing up, showing up, and creating their confidence. And I cannot wait to dig into today's episode with you. Hello, Mr. Kramer. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
I'm very excited. I like your hat.
Thank you.
To all of you that are listening or watching this, today I am interviewing my husband. And although many of you know about Hamish and he's been on the podcast before, I realize we've never talked about what he does and the work that he does. And it's such a question that I get asked about it. Like, what is shamanic work? Mm-hmm. What is a shaman? What is shamanic healing? Is he a shaman? What are all the things? Spiritual, what? And so we thought that we would talk about this. And really, because I think that the women that listen to the podcast, and some men as well, non-binary people that listen to the show, I think that they would get so much from experiencing shamanic work, mm-hmm. from understanding why they need it. So I want to ask you some questions, if that's okay.
Sure.
Today, sure. So that you can answer and let people know that are watching or listening to this, like, what is a shamanic healing? How do I know I need it? What's the benefits of this? How does this differ from coaching, therapy, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. all of that stuff? Cool?
Let's do it.
All right. And if you're watching this on YouTube or listening on Spotify and you have questions, we can get him back because I got connections. So I could just knock on the door next door.
I'm contractually expected.
You are contractually expected forever. So we can ask and have Hamish back to ask more questions because it's really interesting stuff. And I think I only did one podcast about my spiritual journey. And so many of you were like, oh my God, I had no idea that you were what you did or how you felt about things, because I don't speak about it a lot. Not because it's not important, but my work is this.
And that's his work, and I want to talk about it. So, sir, just really quickly, in layman's terms, ABC 123, what is a shamanic healing? What is shamanic work?
Well, I guess shamanism, if we start there.
Yes.
Look, I think there's a few different perspectives on it, but I guess mine is... It's a religion. It's a practice. Okay. Yeah, it's probably the first religion, and religion being a belief system, it's the first belief in that's recorded, I believe, in kind of that the unknown and the unseen. And I think in difference to current kind of religions today, shamanism speaks more to really seeing the world as animated or seeing nature as animated. So I guess it leans on those ideas of paganism, if anyone's familiar with that, which is, I guess, as a comparison to current day religion, it's the belief that instead of, say, a god, that god or spirits are in everything that we see around us. So shamanism will often, will communicate with nature, on a more deeper level. So I guess maybe some of, maybe the scientific perspective of the world is that, it's us, we're these beings that are in this environment, and the environment is not aware of us, is kind of the general idea. And shamanism would say that that awareness is in the environment, or nature is aware of us. And so shamanism will try to communicate with that essence or that nature, communicate with the trees or the rocks or animals, or and believes that there's different spirits inside each and every one of them, and they have their own personalities and their own abilities and their own stories, so I guess to that multi-spiritual essence, as opposed to mono, which is like one god and that type of an idea. So I guess what I love about shamanism is that it gives you a more deeper connection with the environment, the external world, with nature, and really looking at nature as being one aspect of that spirit or God, as something that's interacting with us all the time. And in traditional circles, the shaman was the healer or the wisdom giver in these kind of tribes where shamanism originated from. And he would be the one to help give that wisdom, which he would generate from those spirits, from nature speaking to them, him or her, and then doing rituals and healings to help them, become more in alignment with that nature. They truly believe that disease in the body or dis-ease is created from a misalignment with that nature. Because if we've come from nature, then that external nature around us is also inside of us. And so it's building that relationship and building that alignment with that world around us. In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. That's a big nutshell.
And it goes a lot deeper than that, but I think I've tried to explain it.
But nature. Nature, connection with nature, being connected to all things.
Yeah, our world as well, like the stars and galaxies and the planets.
Animals.
And, like animals and the soil. And like just really that external environment being an extension of us.
Yeah, like in unison as opposed to us against or without.
Yeah, as opposed to the idea that maybe God is like in the sky. For example,
like an old man in the clouds with a beard.
With a beard.
And no disrespect, if that's what and believe, that's
just
cool.
That's the difference to it. It's kind of like nature is
all
here.
So here's a question, and I know you've spoken about this when you used to have another podcast, and you're possibly going to be launching another podcast. Just want to maybe drop that there, possibly.
Maybe.
You can follow Hamish on Substack. We will link it in the show notes below.
Yeah.
So where did you, because I find this interesting, not because you're my husband only, but you have a very interesting kind of background and upbringing into the spiritual world because you grew up super Catholic. His dad still is like prayers every night, like wraps us into it, like very Catholic, right? So how did you go from being this Catholic boy in a boys' Catholic school to going all the way over here to shamanism? What was that kind of journey about?
Well, I guess for me, and maybe it's the truth for other people, you're born into a certain culture. And for me, while, you know, going to church and Catholicism definitely built the foundation of my spiritual journey. I've nothing against that. It was actually, we did go to church every Sunday. I went to a Catholic boys' school, and that upbringing definitely gave me the foundation to my spiritual knowledge that I had today.
Yeah.
So no doubt, my dad displayed a lot of really great characteristics and values that come from the Catholic or Christian faith, which I still have today. You know, integrity, being honest, trying to be a good person, doing the right thing,
giving to others,
you know, be love thy neighbor, you know, all those kind of aspects were the foundation of my upbringing and my childhood, and it definitely set the scene for me and the wonderful foundation of my spiritual journey. So I take a lot of gratitude to that practice and to what my family gave me as a foundation. The issues I think I came up with as I got older was I felt like it was becoming more of a chore to go to, first of all, came a bit like a chore every Sunday going, and I wasn't really resonating, especially once I started hitting my 20s, of what the priest was kind of saying or conveying to me. It wasn't really relating to what was in my life. And naturally, you know, being being in that age group, I wanted to ask questions. I wanted to get a deeper understanding. You know, when I was growing up, I don't know, I was very curious. I guess as I don't know if everyone feels the same, but as growing up, especially in that, I was curious during my teens about this kind of religion and the non-seen and God and you know, these kind of concepts that we're given. And as you do, I approached my dad and those around me to ask deeper questions. And what I was constantly confronted with was, that's just the way it is, and you don't really ask questions. And that was quite frustrating for me, because here I was trying to build a deeper understanding. I wanted to understand this more, and I wanted to get it from a rational perspective as well, not just a spiritual perspective. I wanted to understand things, and I felt there was a lot of conflict, or there was a lot of contradictions, and I wanted to have some way to understand these contradictions. And I felt throughout my journey that it was just, you don't ask those questions, or they didn't know, or it's just the way things are, so that's it, you know. And I think that's what really made me a bit disillusioned with where my journey went, because I was like, oh well, this is not really. And I just couldn't shake it. I couldn't shake this uneasy feeling and these unanswered questions. And so began my journey. And I remember sitting in church one day and, you know, as I do, I'm sitting there in contemplation or whatever, as the priest is asking you. And he said, you know, we've all come here to gather in God's house. And I remember just staring out the window and kind of looking out at nature and the trees. And it was a beautiful day outside and the birds were chirping and, you know, the wind was blowing. And I was like, this is not God's house. We built this. Like, that's God's house. And I was looking outside.
The earth.
And like, I was like, and I just, I had this moment where I was like, why are we inside? We should be outside, you know, like
outside church.
Outside in the open and in the breeze and in the trees. And I feel like, going back in memory, I think that was the first moment for me that I was really captivated by nature and this outside world that was created, and this idea that this building that we'd made was God's house and it was separate to other houses and other religions, and, you know, like, this was the way and this was the, you know, and then I guess my other thing was, there was a whole range of other religions that have other beliefs. And, you know, again, inquiring, it was like, well, they've got the wrong religion. They're not following the right. And I couldn't believe that would be true. That you would die and God would say, well, you know, you're a really great person, but you got the wrong religion. So you got, like, it just, again, those kind of things didn't make sense to me. And I guess for me, I was trying to search for what was a common thread, what was a common belief. And amongst all many of these religions, it's about being a good person, and each of them has their stories, which I appreciate, and each of those stories gives life to or helps teach the teachings of that religion. But I was wanting to connect with something, you know, greater or something deeper.
Well, I think when I met Hamish, and I just found him so interesting because I remember when I met you, you were like talking about the universe, and I was, and I said this in my old podcast, I was like fresh from a very Hillsong kind of Christian church, and I had never grew up in church. My grandma was Catholic, and then she was very Pentecostal, like they wear skirts, they don't wear pants, they don't cut their hair, they don't wear makeup, like full on. Like I had a Michael Jackson pin, you know, on your jean jackets in the 80s when I was like 5 or 6 years old, and I went to church with my jean jacket. And I remember my Uncle Sammy being like, that's the devil. And he'd try to like rip it off my jacket. And I was like, what the hell is your problem? Because I loved Michael Jackson. Yeah. I like, I don't know. I was just like, and I just really didn't resonate. And so I kind of went against it all. And I was
I love Michael Jackson.
I know he's obsessed with Michael Jackson. I just forgot about that story. And just I'm telling you that. Literally, they try to rip it off my shirt.
It's crazy.
And I was like, what the hell is the problem? It's just music. So I didn't like the rigidity of it. And I wasn't put into it anyway. And the foster homes didn't take us to church or anything. Like, so I didn't have it. But I was so interested when I met you. I had was dating some guy who was Christian, and I was like, oh, I better become Christian. And I was doing Bible study, okay? Bible study, your girl. And I don't know anything about the Bible. Hamish laughs at me. He's like, seriously? I'm like, I don't know these stories. I don't know anything. And so I remember that in the church, the guy said to us, all right, you got to go out there and get everyone to come into our religion and our church, or else they're all going to burn in hell and die. And I was like, what? And I think Oprah talks about this too, that she had a moment where she was like, hold on, what? I don't agree with that. And like, I will take some of it, but the stuff that I don't agree with, I'm not taking it. And so I remember being like so ingrained in that church for 4, 5, 6, I think 10 months actually. It was 10 months I was in that church, and then got out of it. I couldn't agree with that. I was like, that's weird. Like, what about Chinese people who don't believe in any of the stuff we believe in? They're going to die if we don't help. We have to help them, or they're going to die. I'm like, no, I don't agree. So I left. And I was kind of hurt by father and what father means, and my father and all the God father and the, you know, like all that shit, like spirit and the son and the father, you know, the meaning.
Totally.
I was like, I'm done. And then I met you, and you were like the universe. And I was like, what? And I was just like, oh, my God. And then talking to you, one of the things that blew my mind and still, and I want you to share about it, was that as a little kid, you were like, you studied every religion and read books and the Quran, and then you read the Buddhism. And then, like, how old were you when you found that? And how do you think you found it? Or do you think it found you? Because you were indoctrinated in total Catholic faith, like from beginning to end.
Yeah. Well, I think that
leads. How old were you? Yeah.
Oh, I think I was 11, 12, 13.
That's wild.
I think following on from the story, because I was wanting to ask questions, and then those questions weren't answered in a satisfactory way for me, I went looking, I went researching, and I love to research, as you know, and I love to read, and I love to understand, and I felt like I was on a journey of self-discovery, and I picked up, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, I picked up all these different, because I wanted to really look at them and understand.
Sorry, hold on one second.
Camera's gone.
Say it again. I wanted to look at them.
Yeah, I really wanted to understand different perspectives. It's basically it. I wanted to understand different perspectives and different stories.
What's happening, camera? Doesn't like us today. Okay, I'm going to stay here. Go. Okay. I wanted to understand,
you know, different perspectives. It's going blurry again.
What is happening?
Do you think it's the light? I know you've covered the light.
Maybe here? No, it's still blurry. That's so strange.
There we go.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to start it. I wanted to understand.
So I wanted to understand different perspectives. I wanted to understand how other people practiced and what other stories were, because I wasn't getting the answers from, again, what my family or from my culture or from the religion I was put in. And again, I didn't believe, like you just said, that you were going to die and you got the wrong religion. You know what I mean? Like, and what I started to discover was a lot of the religions that I started to research, the fundamentals were the same. You know, the message that they were trying to convey was the same. They just had a different prophet or different stories or different analogies or you know, stories that they were telling.
Mm.
But at the fundamental core, they were all trying to say the same thing. And I think what I got lost was like, so why so much fighting? You know, why so much bickering between us if we're all trying to say the same things? And then there's that contradiction, right? You're following a faith that tells you to be a good person and to love thy neighbor, or to, and yet that only extends as far as those that believe in the same thing as you. I couldn't kind of understand that, and I was trying to think of a God. Why would they create that? It doesn't make any rational sense to me.
Yeah,
that's
a good word, because that's probably what made me be like, from early days, like, nah, the rational thing is like, nah. Yeah, and you can't ask questions. They're like, oh, you just have to have faith. And you're like, yeah, but I don't have faith for the faith. So how do you just believe blindly?
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, look, through my experience, rationality wasn't something that you engage with spirituality.
Mm.
Mm. Right? Rationality is, like you said, it's just faith. You just have to believe it. That's the story, and you believe. And if you have faith, then you won't put it up against any rationality. And I understand where they're coming from, because – yes, to a degree, with a lot of these religions, there is a faith that you have to believe in something that you have not seen.
Yeah, it looks like that in your work
and
as well.
And so much in shamanism. Like, you know, I often just say to clients, like, there is the theatrics of shamanism, where it's the rattles and the shaking and the dancing and the ecstaticness of it all. And to some degree, that is just one expression or one version of that divine or that experience, right? Like if we're to look at God or spirit as the thing that you can't see, and if I look at science is all about what we can see, what we can measure, and what we can taste, touch, all of our senses. And then if you look at the spiritual realm, it's all those things that we can't quantify, we can't see, we don't have. And so in order for us to gain a grasp of it, there is a level of faith that you have to engage with.
Yeah.
And then once you gauge that faith, or you trust in that something which you cannot see, then there is an interpretation that comes from us. And I think whether it's shamanism or Catholicism or some other faith that you believe in, you're then expressing that non-seen into a seen practice, right? And I think what we get caught up in is too much thinking that our interpretation is the right interpretation,
or the only
interpretation. And I guess what I started to appreciate is maybe God or this spirit is the unseen, and our creative expression is just an extension of it. And so we're kind of all right, and we're all, and I think that's what I got from shamanism.
Beautiful. Yeah,
I read a really great book by Sarah Ingram, which is a well-known shaman in the circles. She's written many books. And she said that shamanism was basically just a creative expression. Because even for me, as I started into shamanism, I'm like, oh, I need to do the things a certain way. I need to do the rituals a certain way. I need to be very strict. And I noticed myself following another dogma, even in shamanism. Yeah. And I'm like, hang on, this is where I ran into trouble the first time.
Mm.
And there's a lot of people even in the shamanism community that will follow certain dogma and saying this is the way and the other way is wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm getting caught up in the same problem again. And after reading her book, she was saying, how did the first shamans come up with their rituals? She was like, they made them up. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's great. You can make them up. And I don't want to disrespect anybody's culture, traditions, or rituals, but essentially they were all made up as an expression or as a creative expression of something which we cannot see, hear, taste, or touch. It's this unknown. Mm. But maybe we have a feeling, and so then we express that feeling. And I think we see that with art or poetry or when we make movies or dance. Like, it's that same expression. And so I was kind of trying to understand this for myself, that, you know, creativity is really the essence or the expression of that unknown, of the God or spirit or source or universe or whatever you want to call it. And it was honoring that. And I think maybe that can be an individual thing, where we individually honor that through our own creative talents or tools, and that can resonate with people and help others connect to them in their own way. But essentially taking that further than saying, well, the way that I've created is the only way, is in somehow against the nature of creativity, which allows you to constantly keep changing and expressing and redoing and, and finding all different ways. And
it's like counterintuitive, isn't it, when say that?
It is. And I think sometimes some of these structures then lead themselves to levels of control, right? If we come sometimes look at it, then we put human systems around them of hierarchy and control and status and ego and identity then kind of gets built into it. And before we know it, we're so far away from that original creative expression. And we're taking away the creative powers of other people. And that's kind of why I led on shamanism, because I really wanted to find a way that I could help myself and then down the track help other people connect to that inner creativity or inner guidance so they could be free to express themselves in the ways they wanted to, but also happily joining any structured religion or community or borrowing rituals from other people if they so wanted to.
Yeah.
But not saying, if you step outside of these lines, then you're out of the group. And I think that kind of relates a little bit to humans' deep desire to want to be in community or be around people. Yeah, and I think sometimes those things play on that because we want to belong to something.
Yeah.
And it's very easy for these expressions to then become, well, if you follow what we do, then you can be part of our group.
Totally. Yeah. I know I'm a cult lover, as you know.
You are a cult lover.
Gotta be careful. That's what got me into that church in Sydney. I was like, oh, I'm missing people. Okay, so if someone's listening to this and they're like, what is a shamanic healing? So like in a short, concise-ish statement, because then I have follow-up questions, like what is a shamanic healing? Like what is it? And then we'll go deeper.
Look, for me to sum it up, I think I'll take it in a different way. I think for many of us, we operate from two perspectives.
Yeah.
And I think one of the main perspectives is we operate from the mind. So we're really engaging in our environment or assessing our environment and assessing ourselves from the level of thinking, the level of the mind. And that is where that rationality comes from.
I just engaged in the mind. Yeah. Like when you said that, I'm exactly. Like, yes.
And we think and we perceive and understandably, because our senses, you know, it comes in through the eyes or the ears, you know, it's right here. So often more than not, we're trying to, and the brain is very good at evaluating and understanding, the aspects of a problem, right? But I think sometimes where people run into issue is that the brain is a problem seeker and a problem solver. It wants to find problems to work on. It's like a computer, right? And sometimes I think what happens is if we always view life through that lens, then we're missing out on a really big part of our perception. And the other side of it is through the body. And I think that's where, for me, shamanism really came forward for me, because my dad was an accountant. You know, I went to uni, I did a degrees, very academically skewed. And I appreciated all of that. It definitely gave me a better way to think better, to analyze better, to be rational. And it's funny because my dad gave me that upbringing, but then yet gave me this religious foundation and said, don't question it. And I'm like, that doesn't make, you've educated me.
Yeah.
You've pushed me into education. You've wanted me to ask questions and to think, but then I'm not allowed to apply it to
these
kind of areas, right? So again, one of those contradictions that he was giving me. And so, and especially in my family and culture, academic prestige or academic achievements are heavily weighted, right?
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lankans, you know, Southeast Asians.
Yeah.
And so, so obviously you then take these skills that you've developed through learning and you apply them to the rest of your life. And I found myself hitting blocks sometimes along the way because you're thinking and you're perceiving the world through your mind, and all of a sudden you have these emotions, right? And most of the time I think we are trying to use the mind to either understand what's going on through us, into us, in us, or solve the problem of our feelings, right? It's like, if I'm feeling anger, well, how do I solve that?
Yeah.
If I'm feeling angry, then I got to understand where that's come from and why it's come from, you know?
Yeah.
And it would get me so far, but I would often hit a block, or I would hit a wall that I just couldn't break through. And so what happened for me was that I learned through shamanism and through many other experiences that there was another way to perceive, or there was another part of my intelligence, and that was my body. That was the way that I feel. And I think for the most part of my upbringing, the way that I feel was a nuisance. It was something that I was like, oh God, here I am being oversensitive again, or, you know, feeling, you know, being moody. I was often called moody and grumpy, and I probably still am. But, you know, that was an area that I would just, it would be in conflict. And again, I'm trying to resolve my feelings through my mind. And shamanism really opened me up in shamanic healing on dropping into that body. So instead of trying to solve it, it allowed me to hold space for it and do nothing. And that's quite a difficult thing to do when you've been told all your life, go for achievements, action steps, goals, and you're that way orientated.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you're asking yourself to sit with something and not do anything or do nothing. And allow and surrender, like these kind of ideas were, it was in opposite to what I'd known the world to be. And often you're like, well, how long is this going to take? You know, like, how long do I have to hold this space for this for? So that was where I was coming from. And what shamanism opened me up to was there is a whole nother world. There is a whole nother world to be perceived through that body or through the intellect of feeling. And I realized very quickly how distorted my emotional state was. And I see this with my clients a lot of the time, because we are definitely now having a bigger conversation about feelings and emotions and trusting those feelings and emotions. And while I totally agree with that, I think we also have to understand that, like our mind that can hold negative thinking, and we have to go into the mind and often, you know, through psychology and psychiatry, which are great mediums, understand the way that we think and unravel what's in there. I think there is also much to be said about unraveling our emotional intelligence and emotional perspective, and just relying on that emotion alone is also not healthy.
Yeah.
And so the journey into shamanism was correcting or bringing into balance my emotional state, which I had spent the majority of my life pushing down, ignoring, or understanding.
Most people do.
Yeah, yeah. Or understanding through a mental lens or a conceptual lens. And it was terrifying. It was scary, because being in the mind, you are so in control. Being in the body, you are out of control.
Yeah.
And often you are at witness to this power that is beyond you.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would say is the intro to shamanic healing. It's that journey from the mind into the body, or into the heart, into the gut, into the lower abdominal, into these kind of other perspectives, these other key areas, not just the mind, and learning to cleanse these areas, heal those areas, and then learning how to perceive from those areas.
So
in shamanism, they would often look at the body as an aura. And very much like the Vedic and Hindu traditions with the chakra systems, seeing at each of those perspectives as a chakra almost.
Yeah.
And clearing those areas allows that aura or that energy field to be more buoyant, more alive, more vital, like increasing the vitality around it. And then us becoming more holistic, because we're not just operating through this mind, we're also operating through a body.
I mean, it makes complete sense if you think about, I'm writing right now, and Hamish, I say we're writing because Hamish wrote my first book with me, and he is now into the second with me. Poor guy.
I made some suggestions.
Always helps me. He's amazing. You wrote the book. You're incredible. So one of the things that we're talking about is magnetism, and he's always like, man, it's like the law of attraction, but like we're giving normal words and accessibility to how do we attract, how do we become magnetic? And we were talking about like how magnets draw in those little metal shavings, and they have an aura around them, and they have an energy field around them. And we know Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, Dr. Bruce Lipton, who all these people that Hamish taught me about, because I was not anywhere near spirit. Like I was nowhere near spirituality when I met Hamish. And it was like 12 months of hanging out with you. It was like, okay, here we go. And now, thankfully, from everything that you shared with me that you learned along the way, and now what you share with your clients, like I've been able to see how actually we all have this field, you know, this magnetic field around us. And we know like thoughts are electric, right? And feelings are magnetic.
Yeah.
And so when I'm staring at someone, they can feel me stare at them. You know when someone's staring at you and you're just like, and you turn and they turn? Because you're like, they were sending you energy. Like, that's not woo-woo. That's like legit, right?
Or the other way is when you walk into a room and you see someone and instantly you kind of get this
feeling.
This feeling like, oh, I don't like that person. Or, you know, you walk into a room and you can feel the low energy of it, or the stagnation around it, right?
Yeah.
And for some of us, that's more obvious than for others. But I think as you enter into this work, that it's very subtle. And I think it's, again, allowing your senses to tune into the subtle natures of this world.
Well, if you're so in the head, and this is, I think I was, and I know a lot of my beautiful listeners, I love you. We are very much in our head. We think about thinking and we intellectualize what we're going to do. So if I do that, that means that'll happen. And it's like everything you just said is in your mind. So you just live in the mind so much. So, and I say me as well, because that's the most of the, I think so much.
What,
80,000 thoughts a day. I'm like, I think 160, I bet. Like, I think so much and I'm so much up here that it really took Hamish introducing gently this work and slowing down enough. Because what you just said is like, you can't feel your intuition. You can't be discerning on, this person I just met feels weird. That bar feels gross. That alleyway is not a good idea. That's your intuition. And we can't tune into the intuition if we're so in our head and we shut ourselves off from feeling. And many of us had to, because as a child, you have to shove down your feelings and eat your emotions or push them away. And I feel like with the work that you do and why I think we work so well together is because I do feel like I work more in the mind side of things with my women, with their thoughts and their feelings and coaching, and therapeutic work is very much head. And then you have healing, especially shamanic healing, and the way that you do it, because you mix it with other therapies that you've learned. And it feels more embodied. The work is embodied and it takes everything on the journey versus your head about it.
Totally. I think you're spot on. And going back to what you said about intuition, walking into a bar, the question you might ask yourself, this bar doesn't feel right. Is this intuition or is this just fear? Right? That's coming from my mind or coming from a previous experience that I've had that's in the body, right?
Yeah.
So I think whether it's intuition of the mind or intuition from the body, we're trying to build those things, like we're trying to build alignment or healing in those areas. And then what we're trying to do is build the connection between the two, because you don't want to use one without the other. You know, and I think that's where we go wrong. We're predominantly looking only through one lens. And a lot of my work, I like to, when I talk to my clients, I talk about masculine and feminine, like masculine and feminine energies, right? And the masculine can be the structure, the step-by-step process, the rational mind. And the feminine side of us is the emotional mind, the feeling, the sensitivity, and the subtleness. And both have great characteristics. So they're even better when they're blended together. And I think for us to be a holistic human, it's healing those energy fields, but then learning how to integrate them together so that we are kind of one energy, not a separated energy. And I think that's where most people get stuck. They're either cut off between the two. They're all feeling, and they're, you know, they're all sensitive and there's no rationality to things. Or they're the other way around. You know, they're very much in the mind, very much problem solvers, academic, however you want to describe it. And then there is no connection to emotion. And so they're kind of always looking outward for the answers, while someone that's more in tune with themselves will be only going inward. And I think the best scenario is a combination of both.
That's the good hard work that we do. So, okay, so question for you, if someone is listening to this, what is, like, and I always explain Hamish as like the dad that listens to Drake and is a shamanic healer. And I know that's weird, but I say that because, and no offense, but sometimes when you speak to spiritual people, and we feel this, and he's in this work, we feel this, like they're in a potato sack and they're wearing like bells and shit and they're just like, and then you're like, okay, do you understand me? Are you relatable? Do you get what I'm going through? Are you on the earth or are you so spiritual that you're not on the planet? Like, and I love about you, I love the fact that you're a dad, like you're a husband, you speak normal, you're cool. You know, you wear Jordans and Converses. Normal person, you're tatted up, And also, you do some freaky deaky crazy shit in that world that you work in that is, air quotes, weird to most people. Like, if you told most people, they'd be fucking weirded out.
Totally.
And I love that because I feel like, and we know this from going to Bali. We went to Bali and a man who was amazing, this beautiful healer, said to us, like, you guys are a bridge and you're meant to take people to the other side, like to the connect with the spirit side, but not all the way through. We're just like, hey, hi, we're here. We're here to help you move from here to here. And then when you're here, you decide where you want to go. And it's really cool because I feel like we've bridged our bridge. Like I'm the everyday people that bridges them to you. And then you take them to the freaky deaky crazy places.
Totally, totally.
So can you speak to that point on how you can go so deep into these realms and experiences, but stay grounded with the everyday people because you are a dad and a father and a normal person. Does that make sense what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like we think spiritual people and healers and shamanic work and is unrelatable.
Totally. And it was my journey as well, because as you enter into these realms, those are the people that you come across, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, 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 totally.
You know, I've had some teachers and mentors that are wild and like I mean, they're special human beings, you know. They probably have a deeper sense of this spiritual world for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But I think what I was looking for is, and what I think the theme of my life has always been, has been balance. Because I truly believe that we get lost when we try to move to the polarities, when we move to the extreme sides of anything. And I think we're kind of seeing that in our world at the moment, where it's kind of this good versus evil. It's I'm on this side, but you're on the other side.
Yeah.
And so you must be my enemy and must fight you. But I think through what I've experienced, the more we try to understand the other side, the more we can realize that both sides are probably trying to do things from the same intention. They're just doing it through a very different lens or a different perspective. And I think for me, through my life, I've really tried to understand, and maybe that's the empathetic nature of me, understand other people's perspective or where they're coming from. And I don't want to fall into the belief that people are just good and bad. They just have a belief about something and are tied to fundamental human needs or human wants.
Yeah.
And so and I guess when I step into the shamanism, because I came from that Catholic upbringing where, you know, the priest had a status and there was an identification with it, and you kind of looked up to them, and there was, you know, levels of class and hierarchy. I'm weary of that when I go into other spaces now, you know, because and I did this as soon as I entered into this. I elevated some of these teachers to the highest level, and when whatever they would say, I would just do. And then I think what I saw was them not following their own advice, them not following their own teachings. And I couldn't understand that. If you were a teacher of these things, then wouldn't you be the embodiment of it? And over the years, started to realize that these spiritual teachers were just as human as me. And what the aspect they were kind of missing in most cases was the practicality of the rational side. You know, so it's almost like what they had given up in what they'd moved towards in spiritual and feeling and what have you, and been so good at that, the issues that they were facing were actually on the other side, because they weren't grounded. They didn't have step-by-step process. There was no plan. There was no thinking through things, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, and then noticing that even in those fields, you know, even in shamanism, you wear the poncho and the hat and, you look the part. And while, again, that's okay, I think what I really start to realize through my understanding, the thing is, you've also got to be careful that you don't get too close to those things, and then you're just the identification of it, not with a true connection to the spirit. And if you want to express yourself that way, awesome. But what I see in people end up doing is turning it into kind of like a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then people that have the opposite lifestyle are the bad ones, or they are disillusioned, and then we're going to go over there. And I think that's quite natural for humans to want to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for me, I'm wanting to navigate both worlds. I'm wanting to understand both. And so being a dad and being a husband and living in this world, I mean, so many of our friends, and I often feel like it's sometimes like uplifting from this world and going off and living up on top of a mountain, you know?
Yeah,
and living with nature and never coming down. But I think you can also lose touch with the real world or with another world because of that. And so I'm always wanting to make sure that I have one foot in each so that I can always keep my perspective open. If that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. Mm. So I would love to know if someone's coming in to have a shamanic healing, like someone's listening and they're like, how do I know if I need a shamanic healing? Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you could speak to that you know would support that? Like maybe you're going through a breakup, maybe you're whatever. Like what are some of the examples of clients?
I guess what I want to start with is that shamanic healing is just one way to your healing. It is not the way.
For sure.
And or it's some magical pill that's going to solve all your problems. Right? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with various modalities. I think where shamanism works really well is with someone that really does have a interest in that unknown or is open to stepping into the unknown.
Yeah.
Right. And has an interest in some of the spiritual foundations because
so maybe they've tried to use their mind, work through things, and for whatever reason they haven't got where they want to get to. They haven't accessed those things, totally. And maybe then it's like,
totally.
Okay, I've tried through my head, because I'm just thinking about some clients that we've worked with. Like they've tried everything through their head and very intellectual, and then you lay them down, and it's like, shut up, head, boom, and then the body does what it does.
Totally, it does. But I think as a pre-step to that,
they have to want to.
You have to be open, and I think my first thing when I'm talking about shamanism is that I'm not here to convince you.
Yeah.
If you're coming to a shamanic session because you want to be convinced that this works, then it's not right for you. Mm-hmm. You want to be in a state of intrigue and curiosity and suspending your disbelief.
Mm.
Because if those parts are there, then more often than not, we get the best outcome.
Yeah.
Because there is no expectation. There's an opening. It's something. Intention. It's an intention, and I think that's when we get the best results. Coming in, going, I have this problem, and I'm looking at shamanism to solve it.
Yeah.
I think is the wrong mindset to go about it because then there's an expectation, or nothing's worked in the past, so I need this to work. And shamanism very much is a co-creation. It's us working together as opposed to me telling you something. So if I'm to work on someone's body or to heal their field or whatever it is, I need their permission and I need their cooperation.
So good. Can I say on that, and I know you don't have a lot of time because you have to go, but the permission thing is important. And I think also why I rave your pom-poms and tell all my clients, go see Hamish, go get a shamanic. And he does virtual and in person, just PS, if you're thinking or wondering. The permission thing we've seen in our work and we've seen in our circles that we work in, people that are not initiated, which means you've got training and been blessed and worked with people that are from the cultures of shamanism and not cultures, but the people that train and teach that and their ways. And we've seen people that put their hands on people who don't have permission and have no skill set, have no training, have no qualification. And you got to be careful. So just as you're listening to us, like do your homework, do your research, listen to people, watch what they say, ask them, what have you trained with? What is your modality? What have you understood? What have you, you know, I think it's very important because every second person is a breathwork person now. Every second person is
totally.
a healer. And I know for a long time, you didn't even want to call yourself that. And he calls himself a guide, even though what he does do is healing. Can you speak to the initiation and like maybe quickly, like the background and why you have found it so important to continue to get initiated and permission from
spirit? Well, I guess like most religious practices, you do want to honor the tradition that you're going into. And I think that tradition is handed down from those that have, you know, taken care of those traditions or rituals over the years.
Mm.
And so while I'm open to learning very different variations, I think whenever you go down one particular path, you should honor those that teach those paths and honor the teachers. And so initiation is very important because I think it builds right relationship. And I've been privileged enough to work with the Inca Medicine School in Peru. And they really kind of opened my eyes to this because it's not just rocking up and getting an initiation. It's the ongoing training. And the training for me looks like sitting in meditation and speaking to these spirits and letting them know who I am and asking for their support and assistance and asking them to guide me and also finding out the places in me that need healing. Mm. You know, finding out the parts of myself that I also need to open up to and understand. And because if I don't do that work, then I'm more likely to then put that on my own clients and hurt them potentially. And that's never what I want to do. And so I think if I'm going to hold that space, like anyone that is a expert in their field or is offering coaching or teaching to somebody else, you should be more critical to your own work. And I think that's why initiation and having mentors and is good, because they can, and the beauty of coaching and mentoring is they can see things that you can't necessarily see.
Mm.
And I think that's a great part of the work and why you want to continue to do that. So initiation is important. It opened my eyes to things that I would not have realized on my own.
Mm.
And it also keeps me true to my nature and my alignment and my personal growth and spiritual growth, so that I continue down the journey. Because there was even growth when I started working with clients. There was parts of myself where I was like, oh, I really want to give you a great healing and I want you to walk away and be wowed. And so my ego can be tied up in that.
Yeah.
And I had to work through that and learn how to heal those parts of myself that is wanting
something from somebody. Speaking of healing, as we wrap this up, I know that I know this because this client was my client and then gave her to Hamish and became your client. And can you share that story about the woman that came to you and how the wheelchair and things?
Yeah.
And just some of the cool shit that
can happen. There's been some strange things that I've had throughout the years, strange experience, especially when you open up to that. And it opens my mind to the power of the mind and the power of the body. One of them being, I had a lady that came and saw me that was in a wheelchair and had some level of paralysis from the waist down. And she came and see me because she wanted a shamanic healing. And very quickly, once I dropped in, I could really see some of this pain and fear and things that were in shamanism, you know, they call it hucha, which is like this kind of negative, heavy energy that's kind of stuck inside of us that's causing the...
Is that kind of like entities stuff?
Maybe entities.
That's for another episode.
It's a harsh word, maybe. It could be, but
yeah.
I think if the best description, just heavy, something heavy energy that's blocking the body from being optimal. And again, they tend to be in the form of heavy emotions, you know, traumatic experiences, et cetera, right? And we had a shamanic session and I dropped in and we were able to get to the core of some of that pain. And she had this massive release. She was crying and really kind of purging. And when I say purging, like purging this heavy, dark kind of energy.
Yeah.
And the miraculous thing that happened after that was, when she got up off the table, she was able to stand. She was able to
unassisted,
and that even led to her carrying her wheelchair back down
some stairs.
So it was quite miraculous, the power of it. The interesting thing was that by the time she had got home, she was paralyzed again, and I could see very quickly how the fear and to be respectful, the identification with who she was overtook her again. She went back to that environment or disbelief in what had just happened. And while I'm not saying that shamanism is going to make you walk or heal all your ailments, it was a step into, for this particular client, what some of the issues may have been about.
Well, really, like further. Releasing that dark energy. Like, imagine the benefit of just all the stuff that's ever happened. And that was my experience with shamanism as well. My first session, it wasn't even you.
Mm.
It was when we were together. And it was like, go to the dark thing first, pull that shit out. And I just felt like, it was like this, it makes me a little bit emotional thinking about it. It's like this dark cloud, like, darkened who I was, like my essence and my joy. And then when that was removed very painfully, I was kind of like, oh my God, like, you find who you can be. And so I know that you have to go, but I just want to say thank you for sharing that. If someone is interested, and it's men, women, anyone, if someone is interested and wants to learn more about it, what is the next best step for them if they wanted to get in contact with you? Because you do virtual as well.
I do virtual sessions. I split my sessions into two types, which is, you know, spiritual guidance or guidance and the shamanic healing. I often like to start with guidance first.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a way for us to unravel what is really there for you. And for some clients, that's enough. And for others, they want to take the next step, which is really having a release through shamanic healing. So there is, if you go to my website, it's hamishkramer.com.
I'm going to link it in the show notes.
you can find a little bit more information. I'm in the process of updating the website, but there's also an opportunity to book a complimentary call if you want to just kind of chat to me about where you're at and whether this would be the right thing for you. Again, as I've mentioned before, this is not a band-aid solution and it's not going to solve all your problems. If you're open to going on a journey and are curious about this side of things, and you're willing to work with someone, not just have someone do it for you, then shamanism could be, or shamanic healing could be the right way to go. So they can do it through that way. I also have a Substack that I've just started where I've introducing some of my writings. So even if it's, you're not ready for any of that yet, maybe some of my writings, and I'm looking at maybe putting some meditations and some other aspects there to just to get you to contemplate for yourself or find some insight into it to see whether this is a right path.
What is your Substack called?
It is also the Hamish Kramer or Hamish Kramer.
Is it Contemplations? No.
Oh, and it's called Contemplate Out Loud.
Yes.
Which is just me contemplating out loud.
Woohoo! And the doorbell's rung. I love you. Thank you so much. Click the link in the show notes and we will see you soon, babe. Love you.
Thank you so much for listening. I freaking love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for your ears and your energy and your attention. Thank you for letting me into your world. And thank you so much for listening and tuning in to this podcast. There are so many podcasts you can listen to, and I deeply, deeply, for real, appreciate you listening to mine. Do me one big favor, one big thing. Please share this episode or this podcast with a woman who you know needs to hear this. This is my mission on planet Earth, to serve as many women as possible so that we could show up, stand up, speak up, and create the confidence and the life that we desire. I appreciate you, my love. I will see you on the next episode.